Blog Talk Radio.
This film is a brilliant achievement in motion picture history. Finally, the truth about Hitler's diabolical plans to create a race of superwomen can be told. Werewolf Women of the SS. Welcome to Death Camp 13, home of the Nazis' diabolical plan to create an army of super werewolf soldiers.
This project, its failure, will be your demise and the end of Germany, Bormann.
You have been chosen.
Rejoice!
I have found the perfect solution.
The she-devils of Belzac.
Can they alone supply the blood needed to save Hitler's mad dream? Or will the pride of Germany fall into ruin?
This is my project.
We are now in total control of pure wolf.
This is an outrage! Island!
Featuring Udo Kier, Sherry Moon Zombie, Tom Tolles, Sybil Danning, Bill Moseley, and Nicolas Cage as Fu Manchu.
This is my vengeance!
Werewolf Women of the SS. Written and directed by Rob Zombie.
Growing dim. I know a life of crime led me to this sorry fate. And yet, I blame society. Society made me what I am.
That's bullshit. You're a white suburban punk, just like me.
But it still hurts.
You're gonna be all right, man. Maybe not.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and aeroplanes. Mini Bruce is not afraid. I am a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world to its own needs. Dummies for your own needs. Speed it up a notch. Speed front. No strings. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. Fury's beating down your neck.
On abortion, you've been pro-life your entire career.
Yeah.
You've been very staunchly pro-life.
Yeah.
Are there any circumstances in your mind in which an abortion should be legal?
Well, I think sometimes people talk about life of the mother as a situation, Charles. And in my sense is that one of the foundational things America is built on is a respect for life. And so I would say you optimize life. So, for instance, a woman has a tubal pregnancy or something. Well, technically, by my understanding, life begins at conception. So you've technically had conception, but the child doesn't have a chance and will soon kill the mother. Okay, so I would say in those kinds of situations, you try to optimize life. But, you know, my case in this, Charles, has been even if you sort of separate a little of the whole abortion question out, one of the things that I love about this country is the fact that Americans do consider life really important. And it's not because of some theoretical thing that you're on a talk show and somebody asks you about it, but you have September 11th, and you've got these guys that are running into a building that's about to collapse. They find somebody in a wheelchair. They never check their ID or anything like that, or whether they're important. They grab them, and they get them to safety, and they run back and get another one. Same kind of thing that we saw. Ollie North had some footage. You know, he's been right up in the front with cameras taking footage. This is over in Iraq, and there's a Marine, a big guy, and he's got this guy who's wounded over his shoulder, and he's running. The bullets are flying around, and there is a cameraman in a safe position saying, "Hey, that guy that the guy's fatigues are just up, and you can see this is an Iraqi citizen. This isn't a U.S. soldier." He says, "Hey, that's an Iraqi citizen. Why are you risking your life there?" And this Marine turns around and he looks straight into that guy's camera, and he said, "Because that's what we do." And that spirit in America, I think, is so important for us to protect that idea of the importance of all of us.
Okay, so if an abortion could be considered in a case of, say, a tubal pregnancy or something like that, what about in the case of rape? Should it be legal or not?
Well, you know, people always want to try and make that as one of those things. Well, how do you slice this particularly mm-hmm. tough sort of ethical question? It seems to me, first of all, from what I understand from doctors, that's really rare. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down. But let's assume that maybe that didn't mm-hmm. work or something. You know, I think there should be some punishment, but the punishment ought to be in the rapist and not attacking the child. Okay.
Folks, I'd like to sing a song about the American dream. About me. About you. About the way our American hearts beat way down in the bottom of our chests. About that special feeling we get in the cockles of our hearts. Maybe below the cockles. Maybe in the subcockle area. Maybe in the liver. Maybe in the kidneys. Maybe even in the colon. We don't know. I'm just a regular Joe with a regular job. I'm your average white suburbanite slob. I like football and porno and books about war. I got an average house with a nice hardwood floor. My wife and my job, my kids and my car. My feet on my table and a Cuban cigar. Sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested.
Oh, no.
No way.
Uh-uh.
No, I've got to go out and have fun at someone else's expense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I drive really slow in the ultra-fast lane while people behind me are going insane. I'm an asshole. Toilet and I piss on the seat. I walk around in the summertime saying, how about this heat? I'm an asshole. I'm an asshole.
burgers. I'm gonna wipe my mouth with the American flag, and then I'm gonna toss the styrofoam containers right out the side, and there ain't a goddamn thing anybody can do about it. You know why? Because we got the bombs, that's why. Two words, nuclear fucking weapons, okay? Russia, Germany, Romania, they can have all the democracy they want. They can have a big democracy cakewalk right through the middle of Tiananmen Square, and it won't make a lick of difference because we got the bombs, okay? John Wayne's not dead. He's frozen. And as soon as we find a cure for cancer, we're going to thaw out the Duke, and he's going to be pretty pissed off. You know why? Have you ever taken a cold shower? We'll multiply that by 15 million times. That's how pissed off the Duke's going to be. I'm going to get the Duke and John Cassavetes and Lee Marvin and Sam Peckinpah and a taste of whiskey and drive down to Texas.
You know, you really are an asshole.
Why don't you just shut up and sing this song, pal? I'm an asshole.
Yes, I'm fine.
I think he missed.
He was going to kill me.
Shut up, Hitler.
Rory, take Hitler and put him in that cupboard over there. Now, do it.
Right. Putting Hitler in the cupboard.
Cupboard. Hitler. Cupboard. Right.
But I am the Führer.
Right. In you go.
Who are you?
Epic Rap Battles of History. Darth Vader. Versus Adolf Hitler.
I am Adolf Hitler, command of the Third Reich. Little known fact, also dope on the mic. You are Vader, with your little boots and cape and helmet to cover up that burnt ass face. You have the force to move objects. I am a force truly evil. Even went back in time and turned you back as a prequel. Look at you, you're not even a real person. I preferred you with Spaceballs, the Rick Moranis version.
You can't rhyme against the dark side of the force, why even bother? So many dudes been with your mom, who even knows if I'm your father? You're a pissed off little prick with a Napoleon dick. You call that a mustache? I call that dirty Sanchez on your lip. You bitch, let me remind you who you're messing with. Everything that you did, I'm the motherfucker who invented it. I'm the original Dark Lord, you're like the Sorcerer's Apprentice. My soul troopers make yours look like someone took a piece of shit and cloned it.
You stink, Vader! Your staff smells something sour! You need to wash up, dog! Here, step in my shower! I'll turn all your friends against you, just my speeches breed haters. But your lightsaber burns a clan of all your white neighbors.
Suck my robot ball. Now take a step back and let me freeze yours off. A little carbonite bath for your goof stepping ass. We'll call my homeboy in Israel. See who got the last laugh.
An ordinary dinner party. The sort of occasion we all enjoy. The men are exchanging witty stories. And look at the women. Aren't they pretty? Look at the way they laugh. They're delightful.
I wonder if the government should return to the gold standard. I think it should. Good. Then we're all agreed.
I think the government should stay off the gold standard so that the pound can reach a level that will keep our exports competitive.
The lady has foolishly attempted to join the conversation with a wild and dangerous opinion of her own.
Daphne, we're going home.
Women, know your limits. Look at the effect of education on a man and a woman's mind. Education passes into the mind of a man. See how the information is evenly and tidily stored. Now see the same thing on a woman. At first we see a similar result. But now look, still at a reasonably low level of education, her brain suddenly overloads. She cannot take in complicated information. She becomes frantically and absurdly deranged. Look at see the proper way.
Good. So we're all agreed. We should return to the gold standard.
Oh, I don't know anything about the gold standard, I'm afraid, but I do love little kittens. They're soft and furry.
I wanted to make this video to talk about how I am a female who is completely against feminism. Now, everything I'm about to say, I'm not saying that all feminists are like this. But my main purpose of this whole video is that I don't believe that feminism is equal for every human being in any way possible. First off, for a feminist to sit there and say that a man is dirty is just completely fucking ridiculous. And if you're going to sit there and say that a man is dirty, well, bitch, so are you. There's a huge difference between feminism and women's rights. I am a strong believer in women's rights, and there's plenty of men out there that believe in women's rights too. And it seems to me that to be a feminist, you have to be a female or a transgendered female. Plenty of men out there think that women should have the same rights as men do, and yet there's some feminists who think that women should have more rights than men. What makes a woman more powerful than a man, and what makes a woman more righteous than a man? I just don't get why females would even have to hate on men in the first place. Men are human beings too. There's a lot of feminists who say that they want to be treated as a human being. Well, guys should have the same right to be treated as a human being. I think people tend to forget that women can't really live without men. Okay, sure, they can live without having a boyfriend, but what about having kids? When you have a kid, are you going to expect your kid to be a female? Are you going to completely disown your son if you have a son? Horrible. What a horrible parent you would be if you disowned your son, your own kid, just because it isn't a girl. And sure, you don't want kids. Well, good. You shouldn't be having kids if that's the case. I believe that men and women should be treated equally and given the same amount of rights. That goes for gay people, black people, Muslims, Catholics, everyone. I don't think just women should be treated as more superior. Everybody should be treated as superiors. Just because you have a vagina doesn't make you fucking better than anybody else. Usually, I think of the stereotypical feminist to be a straight-up hoe. And if you admit to being a feminist that does all these things, I think you're just looking for an excuse to be a bitch. Because like I've been rambling this whole entire film, I think everybody should be treated equally. If you have a penis or a vagina, or whatever race you come from, or whatever background you come from. Don't you dare think that I don't stick up for gay rights. Don't you dare think that I think it's wrong to be transgendered. Because I look and treat everybody as an equal. And I think everybody has the right to choose their path. Sure, you can be a feminist, but it doesn't give you a right to treat other people like they're dirt. Especially men. And if you want to look at me for being a hater, how about you consider the fact that my mother is in a gay relationship? And I love her because she's my mom, and she has the right to choose. But of course, she doesn't treat other people like dirt. And yes, I have a dad too. I'm living in my dad's house. This is all his. My advice to you, as a feminist, is to look at yourself before you look at other people and try to say that you're more superior. Because if you're one of them feminists, nobody told you to not like men. And if you're a feminist because guys didn't treat you the right way, that is your damn problem. That is nobody else's. Nobody made you think that. And if it's because you haven't found a man that would treat you right, you haven't been looking hard enough. Because there's plenty of men out there that will treat you the way you want to be treated, but they don't even get a chance because of people like you. Like I said, nobody made you think the way you do. We were all put on this planet for a reason, both genders, all races, all religions, all shapes, all sizes, all the deformities we're born with. Life is what you make it. People are what you make it. Your life is what you make it. Why don't we start worrying about other people and stop worrying about yourself because you're fucking selfish? Why don't we worry about being treated equally? How about you treat other people like you want to be treated? If you want to be a princess, how about you treat everybody else like a princess? Maybe we'd all get along. Why should women be more superior? How about everybody be superior, no matter what you have? But honestly, if you'd like to comment on this, I opened up comments for everyone if you want to look down there. Because I've been on a lot of feminist YouTube channels, and they disabled comments. Big fucking surprise. Well, guess what? When I say things, I take consequences. I take consequences for what I say and what I think. And if I don't like what somebody has to say, I don't have to say anything back. So go for it. Comment on this. Make a video response. Like it or not. Everybody is entitled to their own opinion. But my opinion strictly is that everybody be treated equally. So go for it. That is my whole view on how I disagree with feminism.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas.
CBeebies Bedtime Story.
And here is a clip from Tom Bradley's novel, Killing Bryce.
Professor Edwine could hardly ever make his son laugh. From the time Sammy was a baby, the professor had tried to talk to him, had tested at least 36 different anecdotes on his ears. It was essential to instruct this future chief of the Edwine tribe, to transmit clan lore, to be wise and close and chatty. But the kid hardly ever responded. Eventually, the professor got it refined down to a pair of tales about the olden days that at least held the boy's attention, and even got a slight smile out of him sometimes. It was necessary to tell these in a certain precise way to even get the kid to sit down. The professor fairly had to start talking in tongues, and had to get all physical and gesture a lot. He had to pay close attention to his phraseology and concinities. The first story was about the time when he was Sammy's age and that old bloomer button, Tyrone Power, came a-sashaying through the professor's hometown of Freely, Idaho, on a hunting expedition. In the flesh, Tyrone Power, that handsome heartthrob, he wanted to be like old E. Hemingway because he was researching a part in the Hollywood version of one of Papa's books. Except nobody had been kind enough to tell this silly old thespian that there were no grizzlies or even antelope down this low on the western slope of the Teton Mountains. Tyrone had the cutest little leopard-skin jodhpurs on, all billowy and crinkly around his thighs. Ooh. Here the old professor would prance a bit, knock-kneed, and Sammy would watch impassively. And even though he was the rich bitch, everybody in the bar insisted on buying Ty baby a drink. Banana daiquiri, if you please. But Tyrone was unimpressed and bitchy looking like this. Here the old professor would pull the appropriate face, glad in his heart that no video camera was at hand, recording this moment to be smuggled into future family reunions. And nobody wanted a big star like Tyrone Power to come away from Freely with the impression that it was a boring place or anything like that. Oh, perish, Sammy. So they got me, old Easy Edwine, old String Bean Edwine, all 7 feet, 170 pounds of me, clomp, clomp, to do my famous trick, where I opened a bottle of beer with my bare teeth, held it straight up in the air with just my lips, no hands, Sammy, and let the whole 12 ounces pour straight down my gullet without swallowing. Here the professor would aim his face up at the ceiling and make gurgling sounds. Sammy might chuckle just a tiny bit if they were particularly good, gaggy-sounding gurgles like Linda Lovelace being asphyxiated by a palomino. Look at Mr. Power, the other Freelyites yelled. Old Easy Edwine, he's an atheist bastard. He don't care. And Tyrone was so intrigued that, as a climax, he had me break the bottle against my temple. Maybe cross eyes and a cuckoo noise here. Then Tyrone snuck out the back with his bodyguards, and we were all alone. And so there was the nightly fight to the death, Sammy. And I woke up in a dry wash 3 miles outside of town next noontime, as per usual, with a 4-inch gash on the side of my head and the most elegant autograph on my Adam's apple. Tyrone had to stand on a bar stool to reach it. The second tale of the olden days was about the time the carnival came to Freely, Idaho. This was the same carny where Professor Edwine got the reach on the black pro boxer and won the prize money. But that part had to be saved for his daughter because his son didn't respond to stories like that, where Daddy was the protagonist instead of the comic relief. And Sammy never wanted to hear the other heroic, self-complimentary carny tale where Daddy was watering the elephants to earn his admission, and this city woman was just standing in the midway, puffing a cool cigarette in the shade of the tent flap and watching him work shirtless, obviously staring at him up and down a full 20 minutes as he lugged those buckets. And Daddy knew he could have had her right there on the spot. Old Jumbo could have sloppy seconds. That was a daughter, not a son tale. It was necessary to tell Sammy only the weird part of the carnival mythology about the pituitary kid, the 10-foot-tall sideshow freako with a $50 bill bobby pin to the crown of his head for anybody to keep who could reach it. Easy Edwine knelt among the crowd while the barker made the pitch, then stood up to his full height and collected the dough, simple as pie. He had to get up close to the pituitary kid's face, see his dead eyes, smell his sweet breath, feel the iron braces all up and down his rickety legs. The pituitary kid started crying softly and whispered, "Please don't, cousin. I'll lose my job. I'll become a ward of the state. Please back off, cousin." And then the barker announced through a giant yellow megaphone to all of Freely that if they could bear to part with Easy Edwine, he was invited to go on the road with the freak show. That's where the professor sometimes got a response from his son. Never any words, of course, but this slow, low grunting. It was communication at least, low level, but communication. Sam would make the low sound until he got bored again and then just sort of wander away into another room, and the old professor would end feeling strange inside. But you had to talk to your boy once in a while, no matter what. That was the rule. The only wisdom Professor Edwine still received from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was their emphasis on the close-knit, communicative family. The only other time Sammy would act interested in the lore of the olden days and in things pertaining to his father was when somebody brought out the crumbling copy of the September 6, 1939 Freely Beacon and showed him the photo in the sports section of Freely High School's new First String Center. It was none other than Easy Edwine, his face mostly blank and full of question marks like it always was back in those days, wearing the too small jersey destined to be retired with him, number 00, palming a basketball in each hand, arms out perpendicular in the crucified position, while two little forwards stood on tippy-toe underneath, one joker scowling upward into Easy Edwine's bony armpit and holding his nose. The professor knew it was not for the right reasons that his son liked that yellowing old picture, but surely it imparted at least some sense of the patriarchal past. and it got something not too unlike laughs out of the usually morose kid, a response. So, on that day when Sammy said to his mother that certain too familiar thing, that one extreme time when Sammy called his mom a fucking cunt, and the professor disciplined him, smashed him up against the wall, and choked him, the last time, probably, that anybody ever laid a hand on the kid in anger or affection or anything else, and Sammy's eyes went dead, and he started that slow, low laugh of his, and his mother's fingernails were excavating the meat of the professor's big shoulder, that time, with Sammy laughing, it must have been almost by conditioned reflex, but the professor suddenly came up with another true story from the olden days that he thought the kid might like. An actual WW2 story set in the Pacific Theater where old Easy String Bean Edwine saw action and did his patriotic chore. And he told it in real highfalutin style as he choked the life out of his only son's eyes. The short little nips, Sammy, the way they run their POW camps makes the baton march look like a maypole dance. They starve your old dad's ass for months, keep it in a cage, tie it down to bamboo stakes, stomp on it, and then they get them a great big nip. Descended from sumos and samurais, Sammy, in peacetime a nip sideshow attraction. And this freak meditates, rises up, screams his kamikaze banzai scream, and swings down his sword with all his fucking might to chop chop into bigger pelican down to size. Except the sumo samurai guy knows a secret and profound oriental discipline, Sammy, and he can stop the blade short at just a split second. It just barely slices into the skin and tendons over your old dad's elongated shin bones. And he does it night after night after night, his pals spitting and kicking, till they've got old String Bean Edwine, your old dad, Sammy, laughing and screaming all the time, even when he's asleep, even when he's chewing his weekly handful of rice husks. The professor made a long, horrible wail right into his son's face, and they both started laughing. He let go of his son's throat in order to hold his sides. Sammy sank to the floor, gagging and coughing, and the professor hiked up his pants cuffs. See the scars, Sammy? And he was on the verge of finishing the story, escaping, shitting blood and rice and mucus nonstop in the jungle, and the last part he'd never told a single soul about except his wife, only when he was half asleep, cold sweating up to his shins in a nightmare. The last part showing what treatment like that can do to a guy's manhood. But Sammy suddenly rolled over on his pudgy back and gasped, "Stop!" There was a pause. Sammy glanced over to his mother. The, quote, fucking cunt, close quote, had meanwhile sunk to the floor as well, flat on her nice butt, dead-eyed also, and bloody fingernails, making a certain hup-hup-hup noise that meant it would soon be time to drop by the credit union for psych ward money. Sammy looked at his mother and listened to her. He used the knuckles of both fists to knead his windpipe more or less back open, and he sighed two times. Then, eyeing his mom as if for approval, he explained in a hoarse whisper why the professor should stop. "Quit while you've got your audience rolling in the aisles, old Easy Edwine." Sammy laughed, ham-like, at his father's naked shins.
You know her. You love her. You cannot fucking live without her, Mallory.
I was born, naturally born, born bad.
Hey, Knox, somebody out here wants to meet you.
Born bad! It's such a sin. I guess I was born, naturally born, born.
This holiday season, prepare to have the stuffing scared out of you. Thanksgiving. In the town of Plymouth, Massachusetts, the fourth Thursday in November is the most celebrated day of the year. The table is set. The festivities have begun. invited guest has arrived. And this year, there will be no leftovers.
Watch porn. Like, what girls in here like porn? Thank you. I love it. All the whores are in the front. This is the best. I don't like to watch the end of porn. I don't like to watch the end of any porn, because guess what happens at the end of the rainbow every time? Spoiler alert, he c***s in her face. Oh! What an amazing choose-your-own-adventure. That always ends exactly the same. There's never a twist, right? He's never like, the guy's having sex with her, he looks off camera in her backpack, he's like, oh, are you reading that Nicholas Sparks book too? My God, what are the chances? Let's start a bed and breakfast together. No. He just c***s on her head. We don't want to see that. I don't want, because we think about that girl, like that poor girl, and we know as soon as the director yells cut, that she's just stumbling around like Helen Keller looking for a towel. Just where? Did you guys go to lunch? This isn't cool. You promise this is good for my skin? So the guy I was dating, he was like so lazy. He's one of those dudes, like he wouldn't go down on me. I had to become a climber every time, you know? Head up there, just holding onto the headboard like a nosy neighbor peeking over the fence. It's like Wilson from Home Improvement. I'm like, hey, tool man, what's... It is embarrassing up there. Oh, I went on a date with a guy recently, and he was like really hot, so I was pretending to be a good person, you know? I was saying things like, I love kids, and I'm not racist. Vague lies. And he's like, pretend like you want to use a condom. I like to say something fun when I bring it up, but honest, I'll be like, you're going to want to wear this. I've had a busy month. It's like a petri dish right now. I don't know what's happening.
Early one morning while making the rounds, I took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down. I went right home and I went to bed. I stuck at 11:44 beneath my head. Got up next morning and I grabbed that gun, took a shot of cocaine and away I run. Made a good run, but I run too slow. They overtook me down in Juarez, Mexico. Laid in the hot joint, taking the pill. In walked the sheriff from Jericho Hill. He said, Willie Lee, your name is not Jack Brown. You're the dirty hack that shot your woman down. And yes, oh yes, my name is Willie Lee. If you've got a warrant, just read it to me. Shut her down because she made me slow. I thought I was her daddy, but she had five more. When I was arrested, I was dressed in black. They put me on a train and they took me back. Had no friend for to go my bail. They slapped my dider carcass in that county jail. Early next morning, about a half past nine, I spied a sheriff coming down the line. A tenny coughed as he cleared his throat. He said, let's go on, you dirty hack, into that district court. Into the courtroom my trial began, where I was handled by 12 honest men. Just before the jury started out, I saw that little judge come as to look about. In about 5 minutes in walked a man, holding the verdict in his right hand. The verdict read in the first degree. I hollered, Lordy, Lordy, have mercy on me. The judge, he smiled as he picked up his pen. 99 years in the Folsom pen. 99 years underneath that ground. I can't forget the day I shut that bad bitch down. Come on, you gotta listen unto me. Lay off that whiskey and let that cocaine be.
These men have receptions, Matlock, A50632, and Bat Shelter, A39879. They have receptions.
Yeah, I doubt that.
You are about to see a short preview of the film that has been breaking box office records across the country. It is about a girl who went all the way. It may very well be the most important film you will ever see. It will be presented as a special roadshow attraction. Only a select audience will be admitted.
News bulletin, Petaluma, California, Associated Press. Children in the Petaluma School District were asked to bring in orange juice for all the girls between the ages of 12 and 14 who are pregnant. Parents are also asked to help out.
It happens 250,000 times a year. Where is your daughter tonight? This is the story of a girl who wasn't careful.
Teenage mother means 9 months of trouble.
This is 15-year-old Arlene Sue.
I know how to make all the boys hot.
You can't keep your hands off Arlene Sue. She was a real tease. At 15, she knew about everything.
I'm a very healthy girl. You gotta put out if you're gonna get back.
She was a real tease.
Oh. Well, that's nothing again, and I'll run you right off the track.
She turned brother against brother.
Well, I'm gonna get you. The only thing you're gonna get is a busted head.
I'm gonna give you the time of your life, baby.
She could lead them on. She could be really sweet. But this time it didn't work. There was only one way she could trap the boy she really wanted.
I can get anyone, even you.
Thank you.
There's a truck stop motel about 2 miles down the road. You get some food and rest there.
She got her kicks out of hitching. She wanted the truck driver, too.
We only got an hour, honey, but I'll be real good.
The whole gang got even.
Young lady, there is no such thing as being a little bit pregnant.
Are you sure?
I've been a doctor for 28 years.
I'm pregnant.
You mean an abortion?
I've got to get married.
Teenage mother means 9 months of trouble. You will follow this girl as she gets into trouble. Finally learns the real facts of life which her parents never explained to her. In addition to the film, there will be a brief lecture on how to use our bodies. Every parent should bring their child. It explains what you can't in language that everybody can understand.
We will learn about the nervous system, muscles, glands, and organs, and how they all function separately and relatedly. Sexual attraction, procreation, reproduction, and finally birth will all be included in this course. In essence, this is a course of study for young adults.
You'll see them in color and CinemaScope. Teenage mother means 9 months of trouble.
You never will see no more. I meet you home, God's golden shore.
He'll meet you home, God's golden shore.
Homosexuality is not innate. It is not a genetic trait. It cannot replicate the love between a man and a woman in which God did indeed create. Homosexuality can only imitate. It will always be a counterfeit, a fake. It's like a poison that intoxicates the mind, saying you can't choose your own fate. And male-to-male contact calculates for the highest rate of new HIV and AIDS cases documented to date. And to advocate for this lifestyle is considered love, and to go against it is labeled hate. It's like they don't see what's at stake until it's too late.
I miss in excess. Was it suffocate before love your mate? Homegirl just committed a hate rhyme. It's been a minute since I've dropped a diss track, but I'm not too big to get dirty in the woods and battle rap this hoe in the name of civil rights. Now turn me down my headphones. I know I'm not wearing headphones. Just turn. Here we go. This is rated M for masturbate. I do not advocate the thoughts you generate. All that BS you propagate makes you appear illiterate. Don't try to rhyme while you discriminate. You sound like Stephen A. Smith trying to enunciate. Those who voted yes for Prop 8 make me irate. I'm going to serve you a Cleveland steamer. Use your chest as a plate. Queers will fornicate and cohabitate just like you will menstruate. This is not up for debate. Gay guys are great. They figure skate, exfoliate, and help you decorate. And unlike you, they have straight white teeth because they use fucking Colgate. So knock it off with the hate. You of all people should appreciate at least they can't kill babies before their due date. Stop trying to legislate who dudes can fellate. We don't want to live in your nanny state. Men should be allowed to titillate each other's prostate, like Neil Patrick Harris and his handsome soulmate. What causes you to regurgitate might stimulate someone else to ejaculate. We have the right to choose who we penetrate, and that's what makes America great. Seems like you need to get your pussy ate by a same-sex date. By the way, you busted-ass Ricky Lake, I just did my rap in one take. Macklemore and I will be performing that live at Bonnaroo.
Sorting socks.
Cleaning out the refrigerator.
Flossing.
Collating.
Checking the dryer lint trap.
Picking out a new shower curtain.
Filling out my taxes.
Scraping gum off my shoe.
Yeah.
Seems like everything's more romantic when you're in love.
Conference call.
Adjusting my lumbar support. Using my three-hole punch.
Reupholstering.
Ooh. So put a little romance in your life.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
Boss yourself with a rubber hose. Stuff it in your mouth and down your throat. Up your nose or in your hiney hole. I don't care where it goes. And it don't matter if you're straight or gay. You should fuck yourself anyway. Now, you don't have to listen to a word I say. But if I know you, you'll be humping away. Fuck yourself through your neighbor's nose. If you can't use that, use a 10-foot pole. Stick it up your ass and go for a stroll. Everyone will know you've been to the show. If you can't take it, eat my stool. Masturbate with some crazy glue. I don't care what you do. Fuck yourself with a garden tool. Fuck yourself with politics. Man, that's so full of fucking shit. You know we've been lied to ever since we were born. It's amazing that we've been getting fucked that long. Fuck yourself with the World Wide Web. Man, you could ride that sucker right from your bed. You may even meet a Tom, Dick, Jane, or a Billy. And grab on
to your motive and spot yourself villain.
Arm yourself with your heart and soul. Give it everything you got.
Hey, I'm talking to
you. If you can't even fuck yourself, how you gonna fuck someone else?
Fuck yourself with my microphone.
I'll give it to you later when we're all alone. We can turn it up loud and see if you come.
But don't get your jizz on my microphone.
Fuck yourself with organized religion. Now there is some seriously sinning business. If the Lord sees their pathetic crime, he'll be fucking them till the end of time. And can somebody explain to me this racism crap? I know it isn't white, but it isn't black. And for those of you who can only see things your way, well, you could suck my dick and take all day. Fuck your nose with a pound of blow. Watch your money get up and go. But when you burnt your brain and you say, I don't know, I hate to tell you, but I told you so. Funk yourself with your grunge rock noise. Stuff those albums in your groin. They come down on me because I know how to play. Hey, fuck you. Funk yourself with a copy of Rolling Stone. Or are they too holy for your holiest of holes? Now those people think they're holier than most, but aren't they just a bunch of fucking cauldrons?
Fuck yourself with your mother's jewelry.
Hey, I won't tell, I ain't a stoolie. If your pound's hard enough, you'll cough up a ruby. Your blood will be rich, and so will your doobie. Fuck yourself with the latest fashion. Your spikes and your hair and those cute little buttons. And if you happen to have some leather and lace, fuck yourself till you're blue in the face. Fuck yourself with your income tax. They're fucking you, and that's a fact. Before you know it, your money's all spent, and you've just been fucked by the government. Fuck yourself with your lawyer friend. Well, you're the only one that's gonna get fucked in the end. I have been so fucked by legal bills that my asshole is the size of Beverly Hills. Fuck yourself with your full-length sweater, with your minks and your diamonds, with your Irish setter, your cash and your trash and your sinks and your drinks. Those of you who enjoy this song, well, thank you, I love it, let's get it on. But for those of you who are totally outraged, fuck yourself with your face.
say to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, Mr. President, happy birthday to you. President, for all the things you've done, the battles that you've won, the way you deal with U.S. Steel and our problems by the ton, we thank you so much. Everybody, happy birthday!
That special someone, you'll just feel it. And it was getting to the point where I really started to think that that special someone didn't exist for me. But then I met Deborah.
Well, personally, I was skeptical about using a dating website. But right away when I met Dan, I knew he was the man I was meant to raise a family with. 6 surveys and 29 points of compatibility later, and it was undeniably clear that we were a perfect match. Unfortunately, Dan wouldn't f*** me in the ass. I really need a guy who will f*** me while f***ing me, preferably while calling me a dirty d***.
Look, Deborah was perfect for me, but she certainly wasn't the type of girl that would let me f*** her in the ass, let alone be open to the idea of taking my b*** and some f*** and smearing them all over her b***.
That's when I turned to Craigslist. Unlike eHarmony or Match.com, Craigslist asked me no questions and match me up based solely on my desire to get f***ed in the ass.
And that's how I met Bethany.
And that's how I met Kevin.
We had so much fun together.
Of course, every relationship has its own little trials.
Right, like Beth's unwillingness to mercilessly f*** me with a black
or Kevin's refusal to f*** off the that lives inside my
But that's why we have Dennis.
I originally met Beth and Kevin on Craigslist for a casual encounter, but it turned into so much more. Those two made me do things that I honestly never thought I would do, which was pretty humiliating, but in a good way. I mean, I'm dead inside, so it doesn't really matter.
Craigslist, for those nights when that one point of compatibility is the only one that matters. Craigslist.org.
They also gave me a really good price on a mountain bike.
Chained like a beast in a cage.
Oh, Doctor, I feel so terrible.
There's only one answer. If I could find a way to equalize the imbalance in his cerebral spinal fluid, he'd be as right as rain. But how? How? Before it's too late.
Frederick, if only there was some way I could relieve this torture you are going through. If there was some way I could help you to relax. If only I could give you a little peace.
I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all of our precious bodily fluids.
It's incredibly obvious, isn't it? A foreign substance is introduced into our precious bodily fluids without the knowledge of the individual, certainly without any choice. That's the way your hardcore commie works.
Hey, Jack, tell me, Jack, when did you first develop this theory?
Well, I first became aware of it, Mandrake, during the physical act of love.
Huh?
Yes, a profound sense of fatigue, feeling of emptiness followed. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I was able to interpret these feelings correctly. Loss of essence.
Yeah.
I can assure you it has not recurred, Mandrake. Women sense my power, and they seek the life essence. I do not avoid women, Mandrake.
Yeah.
But I do deny them my essence.
Yes.
Now, I like women, you know. Girls, I'm done, long time ago. 22-year-old girls, God bless you. Go do a shot, whatever the fuck you do with your time. That's not me anymore. I like women. And I know that that's offensive to 22-year-old girls. They're like, I don't want it. I'm saying too. I'm totally a woman. I study women's issues, and I'm a woman. Not to me, sorry. To me, you're not a woman until you had a couple of kids and your life is in the toilet. That's really when you become a woman, is when people come out of your vagina and step on your dreams. If you're still standing after that shit, you are a woman. If you're still going to clubs and you have a ponytail and a little dress, and you're standing outside of a club waiting to get in, it's 2 degrees, you got no jacket, little dress, it's going to be great in there. You're a girl. I want to give you a sweater and a ride home. I don't want to fuck you. I'll jerk off to you, but I don't want to fuck you and get involved. I do want to fuck you, but you won't fuck me, so fuck you anyway. But I'll totally fuck you. But there's just a difference between girls and women, and it's not about age. Like, there's a reason why they call it girls gone wild. You notice there's no women gone wild, because no one would fucking buy the Wild Women DVD. Because when girls go wild, they show their tits to people. When women go wild, they kill men and drown their kids in a tub. That's what wild women do. They don't show their tits to nobody. They fuck with their bras on. It's a whole other thing.
Hang it higher. yes, wrap around the salad. Yes, that's yes, you're wrapped. Yes, you can be careful. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All that about enlarged holes and tight cracks.
Anything special for your birthday?
Just a decent.
You're kidding.
I'm serious, honey. You're unbelievable.
Pretty harsh.
Well, so's your. You know, the girls down at the office better on their. Well, see you later.
And he didn't even kiss me goodbye. You know, if I could just decent, I could relax. Oh, relax. Why don't you try Instant Folgers? Tastes good as fresh. Good as fresh. I'll surprise Harvey for his birthday tonight.
Hey, great coffee.
It's Instant Folgers. Doesn't it taste good as fresh?
Better.
Better than those girls at the office.
Honey, their can't hold a candle to yours.
Instant Folgers taste good as fresh. Try it.
You let me violate you. You let me death. Dawn's face here. Hello, Carrie and Spencer. This is Brian W. Dot Fugier, and
John P. Swain.
Yeah, the John P.P. guy. The Swainboat guy. We, and I've got my special little orange pussy here. We'd just like to, sing a little song for you, Carrie Ann Spencer. A one, two, three, four. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carrie. Happy birthday to you. Woo! Woo! Come on, pussy. Yeah. Happy 19th, Carrie Ann Spencer.
You're awesome.
Rock on. In fucking motherfucking happy birthday song.
I work too hard to stop, I gotta get it, yeah. I work
Remember days where it was magic if I saw a penny. Stomach touching and was hungry. See me looking all skinny. Now I got some weight to lose. Let a nigga call Jenny. Craig. Treat me like Mufasa cause I'm keeping all these scars with me. Pain so deep, a nigga getting no sleep. Nah. Trying to duck the police. Yeah. A black top OC. Yeah. Going through some things so I'm coping when I smoke weed. Can't bear the way I burn trees. Somebody call Smokey. Smokey. Homie. Streets, dice, Neil's kill, both deep. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Shout out that nigga Jolie.
B. Jones.
The industry a bitch, but the best fuck.
Yeah.
We running trains on this game, and I'm next up.
So
do this for them niggas doing time and convict. Poet and smoking, remember times when I'm lifted. They stereotype us for all the crimes we committed.
Yeah.
But fuck them, my niggas, cause we gon' shine when we get it.
For real, nigga.
I'ma grind till I get it.
Get it.
I know I'm nice with it. Got no time for the critic.
Got no time.
Where I'm from, it's survival of the fittest.
Fittest.
So I'm not worried about the crimes I committed.
Gotta grind till I get it.
Look at me, defy physics. Yeah, I'm getting high, cause the sky is the limit.
Get it
Wake
in.
Up, hit the grind, cause you know I'm trying to get it.
Get it.
Hear you talking about that life, but yo, I live it.
Look here, I never had shit.
Nah.
Most of them been that rich. Every now and then, you can see me with a bad bitch. I give them mad dick. Never been a cash trick. They backed on the Johnson. Ocho Cinco Chad shit. Balls deep, y'all peep. I swear I hear these walls speak. Saying how these rappers are buffet. Dog me. I'ma grease them cats, line them up and let my dogs get. Trying to keep my cool, cause I never wanna draw heat. Can't forget before you walk, know you gotta call G. Grandma, I remember every single thing you taught me. Listen to your every word, even when you talk trash. Aight, boy, watch your hard head make a soft ass. Cooking up some collard greens, cornbread and a pot of yams. You know I love you when I make it, yeah, I got the fam. Fast as I get it, I live it, got some big sacks. When you broke, gotta get your tools, nigga, fix that.
And I'm gone. I'ma grind till I get it.
Get it.
I know I'm nice with it. Got no time for the critic.
Got no time.
Where I'm from, it's survival of the fittest.
Fittest.
So I'm not worried about the crimes I committed.
Gotta grind till I get it.
Look at me, defy physics.
Physics.
Yeah, I'm getting high, cause the sky is the limit.
Get it in.
Wake up, hit the grind, cause you know I'm trying to get it.
Get it.
Hear you talking about that life, but yo, I live it.
I think I can. Okay.
Thank you. there because mustard tastes better the second time around. I grew a beard because Ginsburg was sexy as King of May. I grew a beard because I resemble 12-year-old boy when I shave. I grew a beard because I am supreme lord of mismatched socks. I grew a beard because every sort of supreme lord should have a beard. I grew a beard because I can't find a job, and a job can't seem to find me. I grew a beard because I staple my thumb to the rain. I grew a beard because I first read one bird while on a train rumbling through Arizona desert in spring 2001. I grew a beard to ward
Hello?
Off the incessant swirling snakes winding through my dreams.
Hello?
I grew a beard because my confirmation name is Angus. I grew a beard because phantoms are always running around asking for the key. I grew a beard because she exists and he exists and she exists and she exists.
Is he the same? I grew a beard,
grew a beard
because
to protest
blah, 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 blah.
The idiotic
mandible bird. It's a song that sings over and over.
I
grew a beard.
Garden of brownish horns.
Or just a minute. I grew a beard or...
I grew a beard because I sit in my underwear.
I grew a beard.
I grew a beard because it's 44 minutes after midnight.
It is.
I grew a beard because there are...
Somebody just is calling me, playing the song that says, I grew a beard. Hey!
And I think the people who take the time to mail letters with unicorn stickers affixed to them.
Who is this?
And hopefully I'm able to continue making post office box payments, which will prevent the post office workers from locking my post office box and probably returning my mail to sender and or tossing all the unicorn sticker-laden letters in the trash heap. And yesterday the low fuel light was on the car, and the papal prophecies of Malachi are perhaps most interesting now as we near election of Peter the Roman, supposedly a successor to the current Benedict XVI, and most days I get tired and stare at my poor face in the bathroom mirror under the pale dim light and run cold water and splash my face, though I've always secretly wanted to fill the kitchen sink with water and ice cubes and dunk my face and sing a few lines the way Huey Lewis did in the video too. I won a new drug in 1984.
The magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Pop and brought him strings and sealing wax and
is
other fancy stuff. Oh, Pop, the magic dragon lived by
Pop the Magic Dragon? What the fuck is this? I don't want to hang up, but like I do.
In a land called
Bye.